Where's Thea? Thea? Where's Thea? Are you learning a new song yet? We're ready to hear it. Okay. We're going to be... You got to get that one ready because we need to hear you. So good to see everybody. I'm telling you, it's hard to send out those texts saying we're not having church. We have missed being here with our church family. But we're glad you're here today. Amen. And God is so faithful. And the awesome presence of the Lord, Brandon. It sure is. Thank you, Sister Brenda and the praise team. Ushers us into the presence of the Lord. Before I get into the word, I had just gotten a text concerning one of our local pastors, Pastor Larry Whitehead, having trouble breathing this morning. He's at home on hospice care. And we were in his home Friday, had a wonderful time of prayer with him, but he was having trouble getting out of bed this morning, not able to breathe very well. So Pastor Steve, another local pastor, had texted me and asked, would we pray? So we're going to pray for him here in just a second. And Sister Lydia, your friend Randy Youngblood, we want to remember him. He fell this week, laid in the snow, 5 or 6 hours, didn't he? Yeah, so, we're going to continue to pray for him. Patsy, we're glad you're here today. We're praying for the comfort of your family. Patsy lost her daughter-in-law, and so we're praying for her son, their family. It's been a tough week for them, but we're glad you're here today, Patsy. And so we're glad all of you are here, our church family, our guests. We're glad to have you, I'm anxious, excited about the word, anxious to see what the Lord has for us in the rest of our time together today. Looking forward to Wednesday night. Going to be good. So, all right. Well, Father, we just thank you right now. You see every need as we lift them up to you. We lift up Brother Larry Whitehead to you. Lord, he's in your hands. We thank you, Lord. And so we're just going to speak wholeness over him. We're going to speak healing. Lord, until you say it's time to come home, he's going to be here. And so we thank you, Lord, that for life and breath, Lord. Lord, just let your spirit just breathe into him the life today, Lord Jesus. Let him be strengthened today. We lift up his wife, June, to you, Lord. And we know it's hard on family. And so we thank you, Lord. And we give him to you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, we lift up Randy Youngblood as being in surgery, Lord. You see everything going on in his body and in his life, Lord. I lift up his family to you. Lord, be with them, God. And your will, your perfect will be done through all of that, Lord. And we thank you. And Lord, we lift up Sister Patsy here today, Lord, the comfort to her and her family, to her son, Lord. The loss of a loved one, Lord, we've all been there. And so, Lord, we thank you today for your comfort and your comfort and peace. You're the only one can give us true comfort and peace, Lord. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many know God is so good? All the time he is good. Well, why don't we just get right into the word here today? Got two portions of scripture to start with. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. We're going to look at three verses, and then we'll turn over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So let's get started. Do we have it? Okay, we got it on the screen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Who is the church? We are the body of Christ. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. Who? The church, the body of Christ. How? With a washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Talking about our emotions and our mental stability and spiritual and all of that. in this verse, but thank goodness that we are going to be changed, and it's not going to cost us anything, is it? We don't have to worry about all of them deals, you know, that you put under your eyes to make the little bags go away for an hour or two, you know. You see that guy on the video, and he's just using it. He's fixing to go out on a date, and so he's trying to get rid of those. And so you see it, and you think, oh, that'd be nice. But then you see it's $60 a bottle, you know, and so, no, I'm not going to pay that, you know. I'll just keep my brown spots for now and know that at the rapture, the Lord's going to take all that away. It's going to get us. Anyway, God is so good. All right, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for the joy of the Lord today. We can be excited about serving God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Title of my message this morning is, We Need a Holy Ghost Mind. Amen. Amen. Not an old smoky mind. We need a Holy Ghost mind. Amen. Way back in, I guess, the late 1990s, probably 96, 97, when we were just starting out, we had the opportunity to go to a meeting up north, possibly, what, Tennessee, I think is where it was. We went north with the Norse, and so, and the Wallaces, and so we had a wonderful time. And while we were there at these meetings, we met an old elderly gentleman by the name of Bishop Carl Angle. And you can... they've written a book about him. I found that this weekend. It's very awesome. And he was someone who, after meeting him and hearing him and getting to know him, he made such an impression on you that you would never forget him. And that certainly was the case in that. He would sing various courses, and one was called My Mind, My Mind, My Mind Is Gone. God took my old smoky mind and gave me a Holy Ghost mind. And he would not hold back in his preaching. We knew that. We found that out. He told it like it was. And one of his favorite sayings, he would get excited and he'd go, whoop, whoop. Glory, hallelujah, it's the truth anyhow. And so that the gentleman that wrote that book had written different books about the legacies of different Pentecostal ministers, and one of those is about Carl Angle. And so that was the title of his book, that Glory Hallelujah, It's the Truth Anyhow. So that was awesome. And so it was awesome to have him here with us when we were out on the old Nike missile base. So we had him there. And but while we were in Tennessee, he would preach the afternoon and evening services, I think. But we had a gentleman come there and sing that morning. And he sung about the devil in the phone booth dialing 911. I never seen people get excited about a song like that. And it's a true song. I looked it up yesterday just to make sure I wasn't blowing in the wind or anything, you know. And there's a song on YouTube. The devil's in the phone booth dialing 911. And so this guy sung it that morning. Everybody shouted. They thought that was so awesome. And so that night when Bishop Angle got up to preach, he says, well, I need to tell you something right off the bat. He says, the devil ain't in the phone booth dialing 911. He says, he's under our feet. He's been defeated. Amen. Amen. So awesome. When they came to us here and stayed a few days and preached for us, Brother David, we took him to Golden Corral, and guess what? His favorite dessert was the sugar-free blueberry cobbler. And so that was so awesome. And the day that I took him, this is just a humorous story about him. I had Pete Precis with me. And Junior, Pete Precis, a little Hispanic guy, young man that was in our church that traveled with us to Mexico, was our interpreter so many times through the years. So on that particular day, Darlene couldn't go with me, and so Pete and I took them to Golden Corral. And so we ate there, and it was Brother Angle and his daughter. When they got through the meal, he got his dessert. He got that blueberry cobbler. And he looked over to Pete. He says, don't you like blueberry cobbler? And before Pete could answer, his daughter, Junior, turned to her dad and says, "Daddy, he's Spanish. He don't eat blueberry cobbler." And so Brother Angle, Bishop Angle, he didn't think anything about that. He just looks up at Pete. He said, "Well, Pete, what do you eat?" And if you know Pete, it comes right off of his tongue. He says, "Peanut butter on a stick," you know. So, oh my gosh. So through the years, Pete has gone on to other ministries, but every once in a while I'll think about him and I'll send him a picture of a blueberry cobbler, you know. And so in that. So we had a good time with Bishop Angle. So I thought about him this week as I prepared my message, how we need a Holy Ghost mind. Amen. We are talking today about our lives being truly transformed. And the Bible tells us that's done by the renewing of our mind and the washing of water by the Word of God. So the question is, what does that look like to all of us? We've been told to renew our mind for many years. I've heard Romans 12:2 quoted in countless sermons and through the years, and I've used it myself many times, and we still do. We quote that verse, awesome verse. So as someone now saved and born again, you know you're supposed to think differently, believe differently, and see yourself differently now that you are a Christian. But if the truth be told, for so many folks, their thoughts haven't changed much since they got saved. They seem to still battle the same fears. They still struggle with the same doubts. They still see themselves through the lens of their failures instead of through the lens of God's Word. And yes, I would say we have all wondered why. Why, after years of being a believer, does your mind still operate like it did before you knew Christ? Well, here's the answer. We've been given a formula for mind renewal that sounds spiritual, but if not used correctly, guess what? It's not going to work. And until we understand what the Scripture actually teaches about renewing your mind, believers stay trapped then and mental patterns that contradict everything that God says about them. And so I believe this could be one of the most critical issues facing believers even today. Because our mind, guess what, determines our life. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What you think consistently is what you become eventually. And if our thinking is still rooted in defeat, rooted in limitations and old identity, our life will reflect that. No matter how much we pray, no matter how often we go to church, no matter how many Bible verses that we might memorize, because knowledge in your head does not transform your life. Can you say amen to that? Only truth that's been transferred from your head to your heart, from information to revelation, from intellectual agreement to unshakable conviction, has the power to change you. Amen. This morning, I want us to look at Romans 12:2 once again, And I want us to see how it actually works. And let's see the biblical process for true mind renewal that will transform not just your thoughts, but your entire experience as a believer. We really can have a mind that's cleared of all the smoke that the world blows our way. And guess what? The world does that. And have a Holy Ghost-filled mind to help us be victorious in our spiritual walk on a daily basis. And you've got to know, this is not just a theory. This is not just religious talk this morning. This is the practical application of Scripture that, when implemented correctly, can and will change everything concerning our lives. So let's start with the verse that everyone reads, verse 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice the process. Don't be conformed to the world's patterns. And then it says, be transformed. And the method of transformation is the renewing of your mind. Well, we have heard it said, we've read books about it, and yes, it is so true. Your mind is the battleground. It's where the war is either won or lost in our lives. And if you don't know how to properly renew it, guess what? You're going to live in constant defeat. Even though you're saved, even though you've been forgiven, and yes, even bound for heaven, you're going to still live in defeat down here until Jesus comes. But God didn't intend for us to live that way. Many believers think renewing the mind means reading the Bible more, memorizing more verses, trying harder to think positive thoughts. So they set up Bible reading plans. They write scripture on index cards. They listen to sermons and they take notes. And all of that is good, and we know it's needful. And I think that the 3 and the 5 Bible reading plan that Brandon introduced to us some time back is an awesome plan. It's easy to remember. Reading 3 chapters a day, Monday through Saturday, and then 5 on Sunday, and it'll get you through the entire Bible through at the end of the year. But what does just reading, what does it do for you? Well, it certainly will be informing to our mind. We read a lot of stories, and if we didn't know it was a Bible, we'd wonder if they were true or not. Yet understand there's a huge difference between information and transformation. Amen? I can fill my head with Scripture and still live in defeat if that Scripture never moves from my head to my heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Meaning, if it never becomes revelation, if you never actually believe it about yourself, it is not Scripture memorized that transforms you, but Scripture that has become revelation in your spirit. Truth that you believe so deeply, it changes then the way that you see everything. There's the key. Renewing your mind is not about accumulating information. It's about receiving revelation. It's about the Word of God becoming so real then to you and I, so settled in your spirit that it overrides every contradictory thought. It overrides every old pattern and every lie that the enemy has planted in our thinking. So how do you actually renew your mind? How do you move Scripture from information then to revelation? How do you transform the way you think instead of just adding to what you already know? How do you clear away the smoke and the haze? Well, the answer for us is found again. It's in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Here's what it says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice it doesn't say faith comes by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing. What does that mean? It means it's present tense. It's a continuous action. Faith is built through repeated exposure to the Word of God. Not just reading it once, not just memorizing, but hearing it. And guess what? Then speaking it. Yet it doesn't stop there. You begin meditating on it and declaring it over your life until it becomes more real to you than your circumstances. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, listen to what he wrote. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, watch this, doth he meditate day and night. And then watch the transformation come about. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So meditation is the key to mind renewal. Not Eastern meditation where you empty your mind and don't ever put anything in it. But I'm talking about biblical meditation where you fill your mind with God's Word. You speak it, you ponder it, you see yourself in it, and you let it saturate then your thinking until it becomes your default belief system. Let me give you a practical example. Let's say that you struggle with fear, and we know fear is a tool that Satan uses quite a lot. And yes, a lot of Christians still struggle with fear. And there's a lot of different types of fear out there. So you've struggled with it for years. You know intellectually that 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God has given us the spirit of fear, has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. We've read the verse. We've even memorized it for many folks have. But you find yourself then still feeling afraid when circumstances come and they look threatening. Why is that? Because that verse is still just information in your head and has not become revelation in your heart. To renew your mind regarding fear, here's what you have to do. You have to do more than just know the verse. You got to meditate on it. You got to speak it out loud. You have to declare it over yourself every morning and every night if that's what it takes. God has not given me a spirit of fear. I have power. I have love. I have a sound mind. And you do that repeatedly, consistently, persistently, until that truth becomes your automatic response when fear tries to come and knock on your door and attack you. Oh no, not today, Satan. Lydia can show you her shirt. God has not given me a spirit of fear. I have power. I have love. I have a sound mind. I'm an overcomer. And I will overcome this particular situation. And so this is the process that Jesus described in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. When he said this, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall do what? Make you free. Amen. Notice again with me the progression. Continue in the word. Then you'll know the truth. And when you know it, not just as information, but as an experienced reality, that truth makes you free. And sadly, most Christians skip the continuing part. They read the word occasionally. They hear a sermon on Sunday. And then they wonder why they're not free. Oh my goodness. But watch this. Freedom comes from continuing in the word. From saturating your mind with it. From letting it dominate your thinking. Until every old pattern is replaced then with God's truth. until that old smoky lying mind becomes a Holy Ghost mind. Amen. For the churchy folks, for the Holy Spirit mind. How's that? Holy Ghost is in the Bible. We can say Holy Ghost. It's not anything to be scared of. What's a ghost? It's a spirit of the departed one. This happens to be a Holy Ghost. Amen. Who went away? Jesus did. But for that to happen, watch this. You have to make the time. Did you hear what I said? You have to make the time. But Pastor, I just don't have that kind of time. Then all I can say is that reevaluation of priorities is in order. Amen. Let me put it that way. Understand, the mind is like a garden. Whatever you plant in it, it will grow. If you plant the word, guess what's going to happen? You'll harvest faith and peace and victory. Amen? What if you do? What happens when you plant doubt and fear and negativity? What are you going to reap? You're going to reap or harvest defeat. You're the caretaker, and the choice of what grows in your mind, guess what, is entirely yours. God gave us the ability to choose, to make choices. Get that image down in your spirit. Again, your mind is your garden, and you decide what gets planted there. Every time you speak God's word over yourself, you're planting good seed. Every time you agree with the enemy's lies, here's what's happening. You're planting, and guess what? You're not planting strawberries. You're planting weeds when you agree with the devil's lies. And whatever you plant consistently is what will dominate your thinking and eventually your life. And then we find where many Christians try to renew their minds by fighting their thoughts. They try to stop thinking about negative thoughts. They try to suppress fear, reject doubt, resist worry through their own strength and sheer willpower. Oh, I got this. I can do this. I don't need anybody else. I got it. I can do it. Pardon my French, but it ain't going to work. Amen. It ain't going to work. I'm glad we don't have any English teachers in here today. It doesn't work because you cannot renew your mind by only focusing on what you don't want to think about. You can't focus. You can't think about what you don't want to think about. It just don't work. You renew your mind by replacing wrong thoughts with right thoughts. By displacing the lies with what? Truth. Amen. Is this okay this morning? By crowding out negativity with the word of God spoken and then believed and then meditated upon until it becomes your dominant thought pattern. There you go. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, reveal this particular process for us. Here it is. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'll stop right there a moment. Hilarious. I can't stand it. In texting, it tries to correct my words. Have you got the self-correct on text? I was trying to tell Sister Margaret this week about some new creamer that I had bought, because we love certain creamers in our coffee. And so I wanted to tell her about caramel coffee that I had bought. And it kept coming up, carnal coffee. And so I'd have to repeat. I said, no, I'm not talking about carnal coffee. I'm talking about caramel coffee. Anyway, here's a scripture. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, notice with me the sequence. You pull down the strongholds, and guess what? These are mental fortresses. These are wrong belief systems that have been built in our minds for many years. It didn't happen overnight. And then you cast down imaginations and high things that contradict the very knowledge of God. You actively reject thoughts that disagree with what God says and what His Word is saying. And finally, you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You don't just reject the lie, you replace it with truth. Amen? You capture the thought and you replace it with what Christ says about you. And this is being active, it's being aggressive, and you're making it intentional. It's not passive, hoping that your mind will eventually change. Well, I'll eventually get around to thinking differently. No, you won't. You're going to be stuck. It's taking authority over your thought life. And the weapon you use is the Word of God. Listen now, when a thought of condemnation comes, you don't just try to stop feeling condemned. You speak out loud Romans 8 and verse 1. So every evil spirit will hear it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How about when a thought of unworthiness attacks? And it will, and you just try to feel worthy. I'm going to try to feel worthy. I know I'm being told in my mind I'm unworthy. What do you do? Well, you declare 2 Corinthians 5:21 over yourself. For He has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What are you doing? You're replacing the lie with the truth of God's Word. And when you do that consistently, you'll find the lie loses its power and the truth takes root. Let me show you what this looks like in a practical way. Imagine I'm trying to lose weight. Now, can you imagine that? Oh, my gosh. Every time I look in the mirror, I think I'm fat. I'll never change. I have no self-control. And by the way, have you seen the little video of this 80-pound little boxer dog sitting up, smiling on the couch? And he says, the doctor told me I'm a beast. And the mama says, no, he told you were obese. So, a beast. I'd rather be a beast than obese. Amen. Amen. So, let's just imagine that I'm fat. I'll never change. I have no self-control. Understand with me, these thoughts in our lives are strongholds. If you're consistently thinking that way. And they've been reinforced for years. To renew your mind, you don't just try to stop thinking that way. You actively replace those thoughts with truth. And here it is. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians 6:19, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians 4:13. I am disciplined. I am changing. I am becoming the person God created me to be. And you say that every time that old thought comes, and understand, you're not denying the reality. You're declaring truth that's higher than that current reality. Can you say amen? Amen? And as you continue to declare it, you're going to find where your mind begins to align with it. Your emotions will follow, and eventually your actions change. The wind of the Holy Spirit, listen, is blowing the smoke away. And that's why Philippians 4 and 8 is so critical. I love this portion of Scripture. Sister North has quoted it many times, read from it in her teachings. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is saying for us to control what we think about. Not to let your mind wander wherever it wants to, but to direct it towards the truth, toward God's Word, toward who you are in Christ Jesus. This is the discipline of a renewed mind. It's training your thoughts instead of being trained by them. And the greatest battle you will ever fight is a battle for your thought life. Amen. If you master your thoughts, you can master your life. Yet sadly, if you let your thoughts master you, you will find yourself living a life of perpetual defeat, no matter how much you know about God. That's the reality of how it is. So here goes. Your thought life determines your prayer life. It determines your faith level, your emotional health, your relationships, and your ability then to walk in victory that Jesus has already purchased for you at Calvary. And if you don't take control of your thoughts through the deliberate, consistent renewal of your mind with God's Word, here's what's going to happen. You will be controlled by every negative emotion, every fearful circumstance that arises, and every smoky lie that the enemy whispers and blows your way. How many desire a Holy Ghost mind? Amen. Now, let's talk about the role of confession when it comes to renewing our mind. I'm three-fourths through. Because what you say and what you think are inseparably connected. Did you know that? There's one scripture that has connected all of these messages that I've spoke on lately. And here it is again, Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and all that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Your words shape your thoughts, and your thoughts shape your words. As simple as that. If you constantly speak defeat, or you're constantly speaking what you don't have, if you're constantly talking about your sickness and your fear, those words reinforce those thought patterns then in your mind, and you have taken ownership of the very things that will keep you in defeat. But if you discipline yourself to speak the Word of God over your life, to confess who you are in Christ, to declare His promises over your circumstances, those words then will begin to reshape your thinking. That's why Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, connect confession with salvation. Let's just look at it. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice again with me the order. You confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart. Confession precedes belief. Your words, what are they doing? They are creating pathways in your mind. And when you speak the word consistently, you're building, yes, neural pathways of faith in your mind. You're carving channels in your thinking that lead to belief. So if you want to renew your mind about your identity in Christ, what do? You start by confessing it. Not once, not occasionally. I'm talking about every single day. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me, according to Romans 8:37. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2 and 6. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing, according to Ephesians 1 and 3. And I have those printed out, and I've made copies. If you need, just see me after church, and I'll give you a copy of those. And you speak this over yourself until it becomes your automatic thought pattern. You got to do it until it's the lens through which you see yourself, until it's the foundation of your identity. But here's the critical piece that so many believers miss. You can speak the word all day long, but if you don't believe it's true about you, it won't renew your mind. I hope you're getting this morning. It's going to just be empty words, Sister Nora. This is where meditation then comes in. After you confess the word, you've got to meditate on it. Think about it. You've got to ponder it in your heart. You've got to see yourself in it. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. You have to let it move from your head to your heart. And as you do this, guess what? You're going to find something will eventually shift. The word stops being information that you know, and it becomes truth that you believe in your heart. And when you believe it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to transform you. It's going to transform you. It can't help but transform you. Understand, confession without meditation is just noise. It's just noise. But when you combine confession with meditation, when you speak the word and you let it saturate your thinking, you create an unstoppable force of transformation in your life. Brandon preached so awesomely that message about being unstoppable. That's the combination. Speak it and think it. Speak it and think it. Confess it and meditate on it. Declare it and believe it. And when you do both, when you're renewing your mind through both your words and your thoughts, guess what? Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. You'll find a peace. You're going to find a clarity of mind that is steady and sure, flowing through your being instead of that old unsteady flow of murky waters full of junk flowing through your mind. It'll be living waters flowing out of your innermost being. Praise God. So let me finish this up by giving you a practical plan for renewing your mind the right way. Here we go. First of all, identify the area where your thinking is most contrary to God's word. Is it your identity? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your relationships? Or how about even your future? Identify that stronghold, the area where your thoughts consistently disagree with Scripture. And then here's the second thing. Find scriptures that address that area. I just did that a moment ago about our identity, who we are in Christ. Not just one verse, find five or more verses. They're in there. that speak God's truth about the particular topic that you're needing help on. Write them down. Make them accessible. And then here's the third thing. Begin to speak those verses over yourself every morning and every night out loud, not in your head, but out loud where those spirits will hear you. Speak them. Let your ears hear them, because remember, faith comes by hearing. Number four, throughout the day, whenever a contradictory thought comes your way, immediately replace it with one of those scriptures. Don't let that lie sit in your mind. Cast it down and you replace it with truth. Well, you're not going to ever accomplish anything. Look at you. Didn't even graduate. Don't you dare listen to those lies. Don't you let them sit there in your mind. Number five, meditate on those scriptures. Set aside time to think about what they mean. Picture yourself walking in that truth. See yourself healthy if you're renewing your mind about healing. See yourself prosperous if you're renewing your mind about provision. See yourself victorious if you're renewing your mind about spiritual warfare. Let the Holy Spirit make those scriptures become real to you. And number six, be consistent. Renewing your mind is not a one-time event. Oh, I renewed it last Monday. I'm fine, brother. No, you're not. It's a daily discipline. It's a lifestyle. The world don't understand this. I'm talking to believers, to those born again, those that belong to the body of Christ and the family of God. It's choosing every single day to align your thinking with God's Word instead of with your circumstances. Again, we've said it so many times, we don't have to live under our circumstances. Well, how you doing today, brother? Well, under the circumstances. No, no, no. We live above the circumstances. And that's what Paul meant in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, 23, and 24. Listen to it. When he said, "You put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So you put off the old patterns of thinking. You renew your mind in the spirit. And you put on the new identity that God has given you. You have to know, it's got to be a deliberate process, a conscious choice, a daily decision to think like who you are in Christ instead of who you used to be in Adam, that old man. I am not like the old man, Adam. Now, let's address one final obstacle that keeps Christians from renewing their minds effectively. Here it is. They're waiting to feel differently before they start thinking differently. Mm-mm-mm. There goes my French again. It ain't gonna happen. They're waiting for circumstances to change before they change their confession. Brother Roy, that's not going to work, is it? They're waiting for evidence before they believe the word. But guess what? That's backwards. Faith doesn't wait for the evidence. Faith creates the evidence. Most of us know what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now faith. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we see that faith is now. It's present tense. It's believing God's word is true about you right now, even when your circumstances are saying otherwise. Even when your emotions are disagreeing with you. And they will. Oh, your emotions like to rise up. Even when nothing has changed yet that you can tell in the natural realm. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. This is why renewing your mind requires faith. You have to believe the word is true about you before you see the manifestation. You have to confess it before you feel it. You have to think it before you experience it. And as you do, as you continue to speak it and believe it and meditate on it, you're going to find that your mind is renewed and that your faith is built. And eventually your circumstances will have to align with what you have been confessing. Glory, hallelujah. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. Whoop-whoop. There we go. So what is a renewed mind? The renewed mind is the mind that has learned to think God's thoughts after Him. It's to see with God's eyes. It's to believe what God says regardless of what the senses are declaring. Regardless of what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what you're smelling. Amen? And when your mind is truly renewed, then when God's word becomes your automatic thought pattern, you become unstoppable. Praise God. Because you're no longer living by what you see. You're living by what God has said and is saying. And what God says is final. Did you know that? What God says and has said is final. And that's absolutely the goal that we need to reach for. A mind so saturated in the Holy Ghost and with the Word that it automatically thinks truth. That it automatically speaks truth and believes truth regardless of the circumstances. So here's the question for all of us this morning. Is your mind being renewed or are you just accumulating information? Are you meditating on the Word until it becomes a revelation? Or are you just reading 3 and 5 as a religious duty? Are you speaking God's truth over yourself consistently? Or are you still agreeing with the devil's lies? Because the quality of your thought life will determine the quality of your Christian experience. And like I said earlier, you can be saved, you can be filled with the Spirit and on your way to heaven, but still live in defeat right now on this earth if your mind is not renewed. But when you commit to the process, can you say that with me? When you commit to the process, when you discipline yourself to speak the word, meditate on it, replace every lie with the truth, you will see things begin to change. And here's what happens. Your faith increases. Your confidence begins to grow. Your identity is solidified. And you begin to walk in the fullness of what Jesus purchased for you at Calvary. You are not who the enemy says you are. You are not what your past says you are. You are not what your failures say you are. You are who God says you are. Praise God. And renewing your mind is the process of making God's truth about you more real than any other voice, any other thought, any other circumstance. It's the pathway to transformation. It's the key to walking in victory, Brandon. And guess what? It is available to every believer who will commit to the daily discipline of saturating their word, their mind with the Word of God. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Thank you, mighty God. I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask God that help us to let it take root in our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we grow this garden in our minds, Lord, that we make right choices. It's so important that our thoughts are lined up with your word. You see every man, every woman, every child. You see what the individuals that are under the sound of my voice, those that might be watching online, you see whatever family has dealt with in their minds, whatever area that may be that they're struggling. Lord, I just ask today that your word and your Holy Spirit take root and work in their lives, renew their minds, touch them today. Let them go forth today with a renewed vigor, a renewed determination to get into your word, to accept your word as truth, to believe what God says about them and their situation. Do your work, sweet Holy Spirit. And we thank you today. We're going to believe you. We're going to stand on your word. We're going to stand on the truth. And I just praise you. I speak wholeness. I speak healing. I speak freedom in Jesus' name. And we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.